Today's Shiur Masechet Yevamos Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, Vashnei Dvarim. In our previous Shiur, the Gemara taught us that if a woman had done Chalitza, all she did was the Rukika, but she had not the expelling the saliva from her mouth, but she had not done the Chalitza, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid chalitza. The halacha is she still has to do yibum again. But besides that, she still has to yibum again. What it does accomplish, the chalitza again, what it does accomplish is that she is no longer a candidate for yibum. And the Gemara established that the opinion that said this was Rebbe Elazar. Asked the Gemara, but how could we say that that is the halacha? Asked him about shnei dvarim hamatirin ninhu. Is this not a situation where we have two parts that make this woman able to get remarried? That is the rikika, the spitting, and the chalitza. And Rabbi Loza's opinion, who the Gemara had established at the end of the previous year, is the opinion that holds this way, says the Gemara, is that whenever you have a situation, shnei tvarim hamatirim, when you need to have two different acts to make something effective, the halacha is ein malim zeh b'loy zeh. You have to have both of them. And in the absence of having both of them, the halacha will be, it's not considered valid. And therefore, if you have to have both the Eureka and the Chalitza, how could the Gemara suggest that if only one of them was done, asked the Gemara, that it should be effective under any circumstances? So ask the Gemara, where do we know this halacha from, that if you need to have two acts, both are essential? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Kivsei Atzeres Eimakachim Esalachem. The Shtei Alechem that are brought on Shavuos with the Kivsei Atzeres, they don't have a Kedush Saguf, that they should be mutter to eat, Ela B'Shchita, as long as the Shchita on the Kivsei Atzeres was done. Keitzat, Shachtan L'Shmon, if the Kivsei Atzeres were slaughtered with the proper kavana as a carbon shlomim, the zarg damim l'shmam, and the zrika was done properly, then the halacha is kidei shalechem. Shachat, but if the shchita was done shloy l'shman, and the zrika was done l'shman, the halacha is the loy kidei shalechem. The Torah tells us that on Shavuos we have to bring shtei alechem, and the halacha of the shtei alechem are connected to the Kivsei Atzeres that are brought as a carbon shlomim on Shavuos. As the Torah says, V'shnei kvasim b'nei shana l'zevach ha-shlomim, V'heinim v'oysim ha-koyin alechem ha-ponim, alechem ha-bikurim, t'nufa l'fnei Hashem. So we learn from here that these two kabanas are very much connected. And therefore, shachtan shloy l'shmam v'zorok dam l'shmam l'kiddush alechem. Shachtan Lishman, but if you brought the lechem with the, you shechted the carbon with the proper kavana. However, zarg dam shloy lishman, the zrik sadam was not done with the proper kavana. Kadosh ve'ena kadosh, the lechem is only somewhat kadosh. Devei Rabbi, Rabbi Lozer Shimon am la'olam and kadosh until you do everything properly. Ach yishchad lishman v'yizrik dam lishman. So now, if we connect this to our shir, where we only had part of the chalitza performed. So according to Rebbe, even if just part of it is performed, that's enough to be considered that something happened here. But according to Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar will hold not. And therefore, the halacha that we stated must be following the opinion of Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rebbe Akiva, ask the Gemara, is it indeed the opinion of Rebbe Akiva that if she only did Rikika, like Pasla, that if she only did Rikika, she still will be able to have Yibam? Asking about Tanya, have we not learned Choltza v'loy Rakika, if Chalitza was done without Rikika, v'loy Kara, or the Yivama didn't read the Pesukim, the halacha is Chalitza Sukshera, that since she took off the shoe from the Yavam's foot, that is what's absolutely essential. Anything else is not. And the Rishonim debate, what's going to be the halacha that if she did the Eureka, before the Yovam? Is what type of kavanah does she have to have? Does she have to have kavanah that she should become pasul for Yibam? Does the Eureka have to be done with kavanah? Or even if it's done without kavanah, it would have the same din. Rokika. So if she did Rikika, v'leichaltz v'leikara, the lachet is chalitza psula. She has to do chalitza, she has to have the chalitza redone, but she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. But if there was no rikika or chalitza, even if the psukim were read, and can be smeichish. The Ramban makes a very interesting point. The Ramban says that if the rikika was done, so we just learned, if there was only rikika done, it falls into the category, as we just learned, of a chalitza psula. That the halach is that when you have a chalitza psula, she's no longer a candidate for yibum, but we're going to have to do the chalitza again. Why will the halacha be, if that rikika, which was the only thing that was done was the rikika, and it was done not in Bezdin? Why would be the halacha? Will be the halacha that it's considered like a situation of rikika, or will it be considered that, number one, we only had rikika without a chalitza, and number two, it wasn't even done in Bezdin, and maybe it's something that could be completely ignored. Machlokes Rishonim. Mani. So the Gemara says, who is the Tana of this Brisa that we just learned? Says the Gemara, Ilei Rabbi Elazar, if a one is say that's following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Brisa says, Chaltza v'lai rakaka, that if Chalitza was done without Rikika, v'lai kara, and she didn't read the Pesukim, Chalitza sukshera. The Brisa says that that Chalitza is considered a valid Chalitza. But ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said that if she only did chalitza without rikika, the chalitza is not valid. Because as we discussed in our previous shiur, he says, the Torah says, kochali yasal isha shlo yivnes beis achav. So he said, dovishu maisa, any part of the chalitza procedure we learned in our previous shiur, which is any part of the Eureka procedure, which is part of a maisa, is ma'akif. And without that, we don't have chalitzas at all. Elo, who must be the Tana, it must be Rabbi Kiva, who held in our Mishnah that the Eureka is not essential. And as long as the chalitza was performed, the chalitza is a chasher chalitza. V'ktani, yet the Brisa says, rakaka, that if rikika was done, v'loi chalaltza, without any chalitza, v'loi kara, without any kriya, the chalitza is psula, l'man. So what is the Brisa coming to teach us when it says the chalitza is psula? Ilam, ilayma, if we're going to tell us that she's still considered a shemeres yavam, and she can't marry la'alma, she can't any man, pshita, miyava chalitza, was this considered a valid chalitza that she should be able to get married to other people based on this chalitza? The shtar yila alma, is this considered a valid chalitza that she should be able, based on this chalitza, to be able to get married to anyone? What must it be coming to teach us? El alav, we're coming to learn here that it's a chalitza psula that accomplishes that she no longer can have Yibam from any of the other brother-in-laws, she has to have chalitza redone. Shema mina, so from here we clearly see what is Rabbi Kiva's opinion. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying that it's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, or Rabbi Kiva, maishna rikika, maishna kriya, why are we differentiating between rikika and kriya, and saying that if all that was done was kriya, it's completely meaningless, and she could still have yibum. And whereas if rikika was the only thing done, Rabbi Kiva will agree that yibum is no longer an option. Because as the Ritva explains the Gemara's question, since according to Rabbi Kiva, the rikika is not the main factor, so why should we be more machmer by rikika than by kriya? Answers the Gemara. Kriya, when we speak about Kriya, the Kriya that's read, the Psukim that are mentioned by the Yibam, these are Bein Metchil Bein Besaif. It happens before they take off the shoe, the woman declares, "Me'ein yivami l'hakam l'achav shem b'Yisrael l'ava yavmi," and then after the chalitza, the shul removal is done, she again says, "Kachi yasal isha shlo yivnas beis achav." So therefore, like michlefli, nobody's going to make a mistake that they're going to see that the yivama did kriya, and they're not going to make a mistake that believe that she could get do yibam after the chalitza. They'll say that she probably did it correctly. Rikika the bechila leisa l'psoifisa. Rikika, which is only done at the end of the procedure, michlefi. People are going to get confused and they're going to think that when they see the yavama spitting before the yavam, they're going to say that certainly she did chalitza. And as we just mentioned, Rabbi Kiva agrees that if chalitza was done, then there's no longer an option for yibam. And because people will see the rikika and they won't see the chalitza, they're going to think that even though there was a chalitza, but even though we're realizing that it wasn't a kosher chalitza because there was no actual chalitza, they won't know that. They'll think that there was a chalitza here, and it's going to lead to asa mishi chalitza l'syabim. So according to this, that what we learned at the previous year, that Shmuel said that Yivama that did rikika is now only a candidate for chalitza, not yibam. According to Rabbi Lazar, that Eureka is absolutely essential. She cannot have yibam. According to Rekiva, that the Eureka mekevis only midrabanon, the halacha is that they made a gzera. Vikadamri, but there's a different version of this entire dialogue. Hachashalchalei. This was sent as a message to Ravu of the Shmuel. Yoram Shirakika. If Yoram spits in front of the Yavim and Bezdin, but she didn't do chalitza, and she didn't do kriyas apsukim, tachlitz, she should have chalitza, v'ein etzricha lorok pamacheres. There's no need to do it, to do rikika again. Even if she wants to do it again, she may not do it again. And the Gemara explains, kahi das l'kamei derami, there was a yuvama that was doing a chalitza in front of Ravami. Havayosar Rav'aba b'mamel kamei, the Rav'aba b'mamel was sitting there in front of Ravami, Rok come and become to tachlitz, and she went out of order. She did the rikika before the chalitza. Amale Rav Ami, chalitzla, now take the shoe off, the sharle tigra. And at this point, she'll be fine, and she doesn't have to spit again. Amale Rav Abba, so Rav Abba asked, Vabinan Merik, doesn't the Yavama have to do rikika? And why are we allowing this to take place without any rikika? So he said, she did the rikika before the chalitza, and that is sufficient. So Rav Abba asked Rav Ami, v'teirik, why not do it right? And why not do the rikika again? And like that, we'll know the rikika will have been done in the proper order after the chalitza. So Rav Ami told him, I don't want that to be done. Because if we're going to do that, nafik minei churban, we could have very devastating the effect. Why? The Amrit. If we're going to say that since the Rikika was done before the Chalitza, which should not have happened, because the proper order is Rikika, Chalitza, and then Rikika. And if we're going to tell her, to head of a Terek, do it again, Amri, they're going to say, people are going to assume that the Rikika Kamaisa, that the Rikika that was done the first time, Lespa Mashasha, was meaningless. And they're going to assume that if somebody does rikika alone, it's a meaningless act. Vasi, and people who will make that assumption, they're going to know l'mishri chalutza lachim. They're going to think that she can now have yibim to the brothers. But the halacha is that that's not true. Therefore, because the halacha is once chalitza is done, she's a full-fledged midaraisa chalutza. And therefore, I don't want the rikika to be done over. Ask the Gemara, but why are we taking that approach? Ask the Gemara. For being in Kesidron, isn't there an order that the Torah wants it to be followed? And here we're going out of the order. Isn't that something that we should be concerned with? Answers the Gemara, Kesidron by Ma'akva, that the order is not Ma'akiv, and therefore if it was done out of order, it's still perfectly fine. Husava, Rav Abba was under the assumption, the chuyu kament chalei, that he's just telling him something to get him not to continue this discussion. But it says the Gemara, Nofik dak v'ashkach, he actually went and looked for a brisa, and he said that the brisa teaches us explicitly, bein shehignim chalitza l'rekika, bein shehignim rekika l'chalitza, masha asa asui, that it's not, the order is not required. And as the Ritva explains, as we've been reviewing and learning in our shir over and over, since the Torah uses the word kocha regarding the act of chalitza, the Gemara's assumption was that since the Torah uses the word kocha, the Torah is coming to teach us that the order is absolutely essential. It has to be done exactly as the Torah says it should be done. It teaches us the Gemara that kocha is not what is meant here. But I saw a very interesting Aruch HaNer. The Gemara says, the Aruch HaNer says that what the dialogue here was that perhaps let this Yavam and Yavavam, if the Rekika was done before the Chalitza, and as we just learned, we don't want to have any mistakes, let them leave Bezdin. And after they leave Bezdin, they could come back. So everybody will see that Bezdin accepted this chalitza as a proper chalitza, and after Bezdin will see that everybody will see it's a proper chalitza, maybe they should come back and then do the rekika to have the rekika done in the proper order. And tells us the Gemara that no, that the seder is not ma'akif, and therefore if it was done this way, there's no point at all to do the rekika again. Says the Gemara, Levi nafik l'kriyasai, Levi went out to the villages. And says the Gemara, and the Inyaka brings a Yerushalmi that quotes the story somewhat differently. The Gemara says that Levi did not answer immediately. And what happened was that when Levi came to the village, he received tremendous kovid. And since he received tremendous kovid, that's what causes that a person should forget his learning. So says the Gemara, Levi nafal kriyasa, Levi went out to the villages, and bar minei gidmas, a woman that doesn't have hands, rachman l'tzlan, ma'ashetino, could she do chalitza with her teeth? Yivama shiraka kadam. Or another question that was posed, if the Yivama, when she did rekika, blood came out, mahu, what is the status of that chalitza? Then they asked him, the malach says to the Neil, aval agad l'cha, as a Rosh and B'Ksav Emes. I'm going to tell you what Shemayim, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed. So again, the wording is very unclear. Mechlal, by saying Agad L'cha B'Ksav Emes, does that mean that there's a Ksav in Shemayim that's Ein Emes? Says the Gemara, as we just said, Loi Havi B'Yodei. He did not know the answer. Also B'Shal B'Mem Midrasha. And the Gemara says, and this is very much in line with what we're learning, he needed to become humble, so he went to ask in the Beis Medrash, what is the halacha? Amrlei, so they told him, Miksa v'choltsa b'yad, does the Torah say that you have to use your fingers? All the Torah says that they have to ask, you have to do chalitza, and as long as it's good, done, it's good enough. Miksa v'yorek roik, that it has to be saliva, even if there's blood mixed in, it's fine. Aval aglcha rosh miksav emes, and then the question was v'chi yesh ksav she'en emes. Says the Gemara loy kasha kab mikzar din sheyeshi mayshvua. That is considered a ksav emes. Kan, then when we have a ksav din she'en mayshvua that doesn't have with it a shvua is attached to it, then the aloch is that's not considered a ksav emes. And the Gemara explains why. Kid Rav Shmuel bar Ami. How do we know that if there's a shvua to attach to a gzar din, that shvua will remain forever? As the pasuk says, that the bnei Eli did aveiros. And because the bnei Eli did aveiros, because they did aveiros, that there are many different pshatim, that what the averus were, one pshat is that the halacha is you're not allowed, the kohen may not take the meat of the karbanos that he is entitled to until the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach. And they didn't wait. And moreover, they took portions that were not deserved, that they weren't supposed to get. Other averus, the Gemara says, is that the women who were yaldois, the women who had babies and had to bring carbon, and they should be able to go back to their husband and resume having relations with their husbands, they delayed them. And they were cursed, as the Pasuk says, "V'chein nishbati l'beis eli, im yiskaper avoyim beis eli, b'zavach u'b'minchar oylem." They'll never have a kapara. Amar Rava, so Rava says that they won't have a kapara, b'zavach u'mincha enem yiskaper, the kapara, they won't have a kapara with bringing kabanas, al miskapahu b'divrei Torah. They'll have kapara with divrei Torah. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, b'zevach u'mincha miskaper, they wouldn't have a kapara just with kabanas, and with a karban mincha, al miskaper, they're going to have a kapara with divrei Torah, with Torah and gemilas chasadim. And says the Gemara, Rava v'Abaye m'debes Eli kasu. Rava and Abaye were both descendants of Eli. Rava the Asik b'Torah, Rava who only learned Torah, Chaya Abomshnin, lived for 40 years. Abaye the Asik b'Torah u'b'gemil chsadim, Chaya Shitin Shanim. As Masha explains, that the, it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, Ashlosh Dvar Ma'olam Oymeid, Ala Torah v'Ala Voida v'Gemil chsadim. And therefore, a person is entitled to, the Besdin usually doesn't punish before a person is 20 years old. So the Schus Avoida, they're not going to have, because as we just explained, they didn't bring the Kabbanis properly. So if they, however, learn Torah, they're given another 20 years of life. And if they learn, then they'll have another 20 years. If they do Gemilas Chasadim, they'll have another 20 years for a total of 60 years. The Aruch Chener says that the reason through Torah and Gemilas Chasadim they could have a kavana, even though this was a gzar din that had him with a shvua, because Torah and Gemilas Chasadim are also considered emes, and since they're also considered emes, so what he said that what is a gzar din with a shvua, it's called emes. So this emes could overrule the other emes. The Shemesh Shmuel says that even though sometimes there are averus that are so serious that those averus don't have a kapara, Torah is so powerful that Torah has the ability to change an individual. And since Torah has the ability to change an individual, so that individual is not the individual on whom the gzeru was decreed, and therefore, since it's not the individual who the gzeira was decreed on, he could live. So the Sefer Chassidim asks that the pasuk says, "Poiket avos abonim v'abnei benim ashleishim rabayim," that the sins of the fathers don't go for so many generations. So the question was, Abaye and Rava lived many, many years, many generations after Eli. So if they lived so many years after Eli, why were they still being punished? So he says that if a person does an Avera once, so then four generations will be punished. But if somebody does an Avera over and over, then the halacha is that the sin carries over for even more generations. Another pshat that he suggests is that by regular people, the punishment only goes on for four generations. But when we're speaking here about the Bnei Eli, individuals who more was expected from them, that a great Bnei Eli, four generations is not sufficient. The Chavetz Chaim says that what was the chesed that Abaye did? So we could assume that the chesed was that he taught Torah. But ask the Chavetz Chaim, if that was the chesed, so certainly
Rabba also taught Torah to other people. So why did not Rava have the schus that Abaya have? So because of that, says the Chofetz Chaim, it must be when the Gemara says that they did that Abaya did chesed, it wasn't just chesed that of teaching Torah, it was chesed that other people could have done. So then he asks, isn't the halacha that if somebody is learning Torah, he's not supposed to stop learning Torah only if it's a mitzvah that can't be done by other people? So now the question is, that let's understand the chesed that Abaya did. If the chesed that Abaya did was chesed that no one else can do, so Rabba would also be obligated to do that kind of chesed. And if it's not, and if it's chesed that could have been done by someone else, why did Abaya, or how did Abaya do that chesed when he could have been learning Torah at that time? So says the Chofetz Chaim, from here we see that chesed is not like any other mitzvah. By all other mitzvahs, as we just said, indeed the halacha is that if somebody is learning Torah, he should not interrupt his learning in order to do that mitzvah. But chesed is considered such a fundamental requirement, going back to the Mashal that we quoted earlier, that the Mashal tells us that chesed is one of the shloish amudim that the world stands on. Therefore, chesed is a type of activity that one, Abaya teaches us, one should stop his learning in order to do chesed. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanu Mashpacha Achas Hoshim Yerushalayim, there was a family in Yerushalayim, Shoyim Mason Kaben Shemayin Esri Shana, that they died when they were 18 years old. Bovedias Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And they tried to understand, they asked Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, why is this happening to this family? Amalem, so he said, Shem Mishpachas Eliatem, maybe if you come from the family of Eli, Shenema, which the Pasuk says regarding them, V'chol Marbis Beischa Yemusa Anoshim, that the people from your family will unfortunately die young, says, so he told them, L'chu Isku B'Taira, go learn Taira, and by learning Taira, Holchu V'chtechu, and you'll be Zaycha to live. And said, says the Gemara, indeed, that's what they did. Holchu v'osku b'tayra. They went and learned Torah v'chayu, and they lived. They lived more than 18 years. V'ayukayonaisai, and they were called Mishpach Yochanan Shmai because of this fantastic advice that he gave them. Amar Shmuel bar Unya Amarav. Nine l'gzardin shal tzibur. How do we know the gzardin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to the tzibur, shen anechtem, is not sealed? Ask the Gemara, is that true? Ein anechtem. V'ksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say regarding the Cheto Egel, which is a vera of the Tzibur, Kim Tachs B'si B'Nesser, V'sabel Bris Nechtem Avaynach L'Fanai, as much as you'll try to use detergent or whatever to get this Gzera erased, it's final. Ella, says the Gemara, what he meant to say was, Menayin Shafil Anechtem, even if the Gzera Din Rachman Tzlan is sealed, Miskara, through Tfila and tshuva, it could be ripped up. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Mika Shem Alakeinu b'chol kareinu olam, that by learning Torah, by that the Kadosh Baruch Hu rips it off. V'ksiv, asked the Gemara, but doesn't the pasuk say that's not Kadosh Baruch Hu is not always available? V'ksiv, dirshu Hashem v'imatzu, that he's only available sometimes. Says Gemara lo kasha b'yochid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only available at certain times. But Tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always available. Ask the Gemara Yochid Amos, and when are those times by Yochid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only available at certain times? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Eila Sar Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. These are the Seres Yimei Tshuva, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most available. So here we learned again the power of Torah, that the power of Torah is that a person could have a Riches Yomim because of learning Torah. And I saw that the Alshach explains. The Pasuk says, Im Librisi Yom V'Layla Chukas Shemayim V'Aretz Leisamti. If not for learning Torah, the world could not exist. So therefore, the person who learns Torah, who causes that the world should be able to exist, he's the person that because of him, the world exists. And that's why he's Zoycha Tariches Yomim. He's the person that when we say every day, Kimei HaShamayim Al Ha'aretz. So we learned
that the gzar din of a tzibur can be ripped up if there's tefillah. The Reb Akiva Eiger, the question is, what type of tefillah of tzibur could do that? Does any tefillah of tzibur work, or does the tefillah have to be with kavana? So Reb Akiva Eiger explains, as long as there are individuals in the tzibur that daven properly and daven with the proper kavana, that tefillah, because the individual is part of the tzibur, will help even for the person who didn't daven perhaps as he should have davened. The Aruch HaNer asks that here the Gemara says that Dirsh Hashem be Matsu, and then the Pasuk says, B'chol Kureinu Av, Eilav. What is the Gemara's question? He says that maybe this is Lefnei Gzardin, and maybe this is Lach Gzardin. But says the Aruch HaNer, after our Gemara said that the gzera of a tzibur could be ripped up, even lach gzardin, that's why the Gemara had the question, how do we reconcile the psukim? So the Shem Shmuel explains, the pasuk says, Dirshu Hashem b'matzoi. B'matzoi is the aser shimei tshuva. What does that mean? So he explains that the word matzah is a metzia. It's a find. A person has to approach the Aser Shimei Tshuva as an opportunity, as a metziah. Sometimes a person gets a rare opportunity. A Aser Shimei Tshuva, he explains, should be viewed as a rare opportunity that we have to become close to Hashem. Others say, I saw that the Tzlach explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be matzoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available during the Aser Shimei Tshuva. And because it's a time where Kadosh Baruch Hu is most available, that's why it's the time that we should take advantage, that we should be able to daven. The Tori Evan asks the question. He says there's a very famous Gemara where the Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu didn't have children, and Yeshaya HaNavi came to tell him there was a gzera against him that he's going to die young. And the pasuk says that he agreed to get married, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him extra years. So the question is, this was a gzar din of a yachid. And ask the Tori Evan that if it's a gzar din of a yachid, that we just learned, unless it's a aser shimei tshuva, it's not ripped up. So he gives a number of terutzim. One terutz he gives is that because Chizkiyahu was a melech is considered like a tzibur. And we just said that the gzar din of a tzibur could be ripped up. Darul Chaner says that what happened here was that these years that he was supposed to die early were years that were originally decreed he should have those years. And now he lost those years. And he was given back what he had. He wasn't given back something extra. That's not called going back on a gzar din. Says the Gemara, Shalach le'avud Shmuel, Yeravam, Yivama, Sheraka Kodam. If the Yivama, when she did the Rekika, she spit blood, tachlitz. She has to do chalitza, she can't do Yibam anymore. Because the Rekika is considered a good Rekika. Why? There must have been some saliva in that, what she expelled. Meisvei asked the Gemara, that the blood that comes out of the mouth of a zov should be tamei, just like the saliva that comes out of the mouth of a roik. That the saliva is considered mayonis azov and is tamei, but not blood. So we see, we just said that all blood has in it some saliva. Answers the Gemara, like Ashikamba Mitzesis. When she squeezes or sucks the blood from her gums, then we say that there must be saliva in that mixture. Can, if it's shisis, if blood is just coming out by itself from its mouth, there it's possible that there is no saliva in that blood. So of course, the Gemara just said that certainly if she sucked the blood out of her mouth and expelled it, there must be some saliva in that mixture, and since there's some saliva in the mixture, that's why it's considered a valid rikika. But ask the Mardechai, even if there's saliva, it's a small amount of saliva. Since it's only a small amount of saliva, why don't we apply the concept of bittul b'roif? He says that the saliva, is discernible in the blood. When do we say bittul b'roif? Is when the two items that get mixed up are so mixed up that each one is not independently discernible. Here, that they're independently identifiable, that's not called a taruva. Another explanation he gives is only when is there a halacha of taruvas. He says the halacha of taruvas is stated when you had something that was separate and get mixed up. Here, since this blood and saliva were mixed from inception, that's not called the halacha of taruvas. Another explanation, which the Tosfos Arit suggests, the Tosfos Arit says that when is it considered that we have a situation of a taruvas? That's when something has a shear. So when something has a shear, then there's hilchas taruvas. But as far as the rikika that's done by the Yavama, the halacha is even the smallest amount of rikika, the smallest amount of saliva, is considered acceptable to make it a kosher chalitza. And therefore, since it's even the smallest amount, there's no need for, there's no question, there's no issue of bittul, and the rikika would be a kosher rikika. We learned in the Mishnah Cheretz Shenechlatz that if a cheretz had chalitza done to him, Amar Yudah Merav, this that we learned in our Mishnah, that if a cotton did chalitza, it's a pasul chalitza, but this Yivama can no longer have Yibam with any of the other brothers, and not that the Chalitza is meaningless, is the opinion of Rameyer, that hold that the Chalitza of a 9-year-old is somewhat meaningful. Avacham Aymrim, the opinion of the Chacham is, as we learned earlier, Ein Chalitza's cotton klum. The Chalitza of a cotton is meaningless, and since the chalitza of a cotton is meaningless, we could ignore it. We learned in the Mishnah, ketana shechalza, if chalitza was done by ketana by a woman when she's still a ketana, she should do chalitza again after she's a begadoyla. Amar Yehuda Marav, zudiv remeya, dama ish ksiv beparsha. The Torah says the word ish in the parsha of chalitza. The pasuk says v'mlo yach betze ish, maksinin isha l'ish. That the Isha has the same din as an Ish. And just like the Ish must be a gadol to be part of a chalitza, so must be the Isha. V'cham ma'imrim, Ish kasa b'parsha. Indeed, when we speak about the man, the Yavam, he has to be an Ish. But when we speak about the Isha, the opinion of the Chacham is bein ketana, whether she's a gadol or ketana, she could do chalitza. Ask the Gemara Machachamim, who are the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. For says the Gemara of Chiyav, Rav Shimon, Barabi, Habayasvi. Pasachad Menayu, one of them began with the following halacha. He said, Hamaspalel, somebody who daven tzarek shiitain, ain of lamata, he has to face Eretz Yisrael, shenemar, v'hoye einei v'libi sham kol hayomim. So the Shechin is in Eretz Yisrael, and he has to think about the Eretz Yisrael, about the Beis HaMikdash. V'charama, Eina Lamala. He has to be thinking about Shemayim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Nisa Levavenu El Kapayim El Kel Sheva Shemayim. Says the Gemara Arahachi, as they were discussing this, Osir Rav Shmuel Bar Yosi Lagabayu, Rav Shmuel Bar Yosi came to see them, Amaluhu, and he asked them, B'maya Siktu, he asked them, what were you talking about? Amalei, and they told him we were talking about tefillah. Amala, so he said, Kacha ma'aba, Rabbi Yossi taught us, Hamispal tzarek shiitin ein of lamata, he has to be thinking about Eretz Yisrael, and v'libay lamala, and thinking about the Shemayim. Kedei, sheiskai mushneim across alalu. The person has to have both in mind. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, ein of lamata, what are we learning from here? That a person should close his eyes when he's davening. However, says the Shir Tshuva, even though that's the right thing to do, you should close your eyes. But if a person could have more kavana from davening inside a siddur, then the halacha is that he should keep his eyes open and look at the siddur. And as the Chaya Adam explains, the only issue with davening with your eyes open is if you're looking around during your tefillah. And a person who's looking around during his tefillah, it's inappropriate. But if he's looking at the siddur, because that will enhance that he should be able to daven properly, that's the right thing to do. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is that a person who's davening should have kavana in his tefillah and nothing else. Another pshat that I saw is that a person should have ein of lamata. A person who approaches his davening should think about ein of lamata, how insignificant I am, v'libe lamala. And he should also think how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And that will cause him to daven properly. But then I saw a pshat that if a person is going to start with those kinds of thoughts, he's going to maybe think, who am I to be able to daven? And because of that, he should realize the liba lamala. He should realize that where does his heart come from? His heart comes from Shemayim. His neshama comes from Shemayim. And when a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him such a great neshama, that will cause that he should daven properly. Ein of lamata v'libe lamala. Another pshat that I saw from the Chidah, he says, what pshat ein of lamata v'libe lamala? He says, people, of course, when we daven for all sorts of needs. Needs that include gashmius. And the question is that what we should be thinking about and davening when we're davening? But if, when we're davening, and we're thinking about gashmius, but we realize that the reason we want gashmius is only to enhance our avodas Hashem. We daven for health, so she will be healthy to be able to serve Hashem. We daven for panosos, so we have the means to serve Hashem. So even though he's davening in of lamata, he's asking for things that are in this world, but liba lamala, he's asking for things that are for shema, that are connected to ruchnius. And since he's asking for things that are asking for ruchnius, that's why it's considered a valid, a proper tefillah. The Shema Shmuel says that this Gemara is the basis for how we actually blow the shofar. The way we blow shofar, we blow shvarim, tkiya, shvarim, teruah. Shvarim is a person is broken. A person before he davens has to be ein of lamata. A person, as we just said, before he davens is supposed to think, is he worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen? And then, when a person comes to the tefillah with that attitude, then liba lamala. Then min shemayim liba lamala, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to his tefillah and accept his tefillah. Says the Gemara. Adahachi, says the Gemara, Adahachi, while they were having this conversation about tefillah, also Rabbi Lemasifta. Rabbi came to yeshiva to give a shir. Inu, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimba Rabbi, they have a kalila that were not heavy, Yasu b'dechtayu, they were able to sit down in the seat, and what happened was that people in those days would sit on the floor, and moreover, people who were more chashiv would sit up front. So if you have everybody sitting, and then you're walking between the people who are sitting on the floor, it looks like you're stepping on them. But Reb Shimon, it says the Gemara, Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Berebi, who were light, were able to get to their seats quickly. And because they were able to get to their seats quickly, it didn't look like they were stepping on anybody's head. However, Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef Agav Yuchrei, Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef was heavy, v'avamefsa, so he walked slowly, v'ozol, to get to his seat. Amalei Avdon, so Avdon said to Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef, mi huzeh, who are you? Shemafs Arosh Yam Kaddish. As we just said, as he was walking, it looks like you're stepping on people's head. Very inappropriate behavior. Amalei, ani Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef, I'm Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef, and I'm I'm interested in learning Shabbos Lomotam from Rebbe. I came to learn Torah from Rebbe. And from here, there's a minig that people don't step over other people. And the Sefer Chassidim quotes that minig. And the source of that minig, he says, is our Gemara. Because we find in our Gemara that he refused, that it was wrong to step over other people's head. Amalei, so Avdin said to Rabbi Shmuel, V'chi ata hagan limud Torah m'Rebbe, are you a person that's worthy to learn Torah from Rebbe? You who act in this manner, which shows a lack of modesty, of being humble by walking on top of other people. Amalei, V'chi Moshe hagan limud Torah m'Bigvura, Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yeshem Moshe lishpet ha'am, V'yamen ha'am ha'moshe min ha'boik v'arev, and he made them all stand, still he learned Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei, and so here too, even though my behavior looks somewhat inappropriate, it's the goal of my behavior is to learn Torah. And since the goal of my behavior is to learn Torah, it becomes appropriate. So Avdin said to him, Moshe ata, are you comparing yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Amalei, so Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said to Avdin, V'chi rapcha el kimhu, and you're comparing your Rebbe to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Shokel Rabbi Lemitrafei. Rebbe heard, Rebbe deserved his punishment, how he heard Avdin embarrassing of Shmuel Rabbi Yossi without saying anything. The Kamalei, Rapcha, he said that Rav Shmuel said to Avdon, your Rebbe is like Hashem, V'loi Rebbe. And he didn't say anything. Adahachi, says the Gemara, while all of this was going on, Asya Yivam came to Rebbe, there was a Yivam that came to Rebbe. Amalei, Rebbe l'Avdon, Rebbe said to Avdon, Puk Batka, go check if this woman is already a Gedoyla. Because a woman who's not a gedolah is not a candidate for chalitza. Lebasa denafik. After Avdon left the base of Medrash, Amalei Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel said, Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi said to Rabbi Kach Amama that my father Rav Yossi taught me ish kosev parsha, that by the man who participates in the chalitza he has to be an adult. Ava isha the aloch is ben gedolah ben ketana to do the chalitza. Amalei ta like tzriches. You don't have to, so he told Avdon to come back. You don't have to examine her. Kikfar hoi rezakin. We already have a psak from Rabbi Yossi that the woman doesn't have to be a gedolah. Says the Gemara, kamafsa Avdon v'asi. So Avdon was walking in the shul up to his seat to Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Misha tzarch le'am kaddish. I, who am needed by the people in the Beis Midrash, I am a Talmud Chacham. I'm a person that can walk in this fashion. Yifsal Rashi Am Kodesh. However, Misha and Tzarek Lam Kodesh, who are not necessary for the Talmidim, Hech Yifsa Al Rashi Am Kodesh. How could you be a person that should walk as it looks like you're stepping on people's head? Amalei Rebbe La'avdon, Kum Bedachtech. Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi is right, you have no right to walk this way. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Ba'ois Hashah, when Avdon went back to wanted to go to a seat, and Rebbe stopped him. So it became clear that what he had done was he had improperly embarrassed Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. At that moment, the Stara Avdon, he became Metzaira. And as all the Mepharshim explained, we know the punishment of Tzaras is for a person who doesn't speak properly. Tava Shnei Bonov and his two sons drowned, and two of his daughter-in-laws did miyun. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Brich Rachmana de Kasev L'Avdon by Alma. If he got at least got his punishment in this world, not in the next world. Amar Rav Ami, Medvarav Shabbat Rebbe, where we learned from Rabbi Yossi, maybe we can learn Ketanu Chaletzes, Kedu Chalitza, Bepu'utas, when she has some das. That means, if we see that this girl has some level of intelligence, as the Rishonim point out, anywhere between the age of 6 to 10, she's old enough to do chalitza. Rav Amar, Achetigil Einus Nadarim. The halacha is that a girl is considered bas mitzvah at 12, but from 11, she could already make a nedarim. Her nedarim have value. So the halacha is at that age, she could already do chalitza. But says the Gemara, the hilchasa, achetavish teis aris, she has to be a full-fledged gedayla to do chalitza. We learned in the Mishnah, if chalitza was done in front of two edim, Tanakam said that the chalitza is possible. Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, and Rav Yochanan hold that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Menuni, Amar Rav Nachman, and halacha kaisa zog. The halacha is that not like them who said the chalitza done before two people is a valid chalitza. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nachman Chadazimna, hasn't Rav Nachman already taught this once? Damar Rav Yosef ben Menuni, Amar Rav Nachman Chalitza b'Shloisha. So we know that you have to have three people. Why was it necessary to be repeated? Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Did Mahach Chmaisa that we have to have three people? Have a mina hanimil lechatchila. Lechatchila, you have to have three people. Ava b'diavad, I feel tray. B'diavad, two people will be fine. Kamash Malon, and Alocha Kaisa Zog. And the halacha is the b'di'evid. If you don't have three people, it's not acceptable. Vi ashminan in halacha kaisuzog el katana kama have a mina d'evid. Aval chatchila we should need five dayanim, as we learned at the beginning of our parak. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to have five people. Tzricha that the halacha is that chatchila three people are enough. We learned in the Mishnah that there's once a chalitza done just with the yavam the yavama in prison, and the question came to Rekiva, that, and Rekiva said it's good. Ask the Gemara, Beino Lebeino, if the Chalitza was just done between the Yavam and the Yavama, Miyadana, who knows about this Chalitza? And how can we suggest that this would be an acceptable Chalitza? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yudam Mishmul, Edom Roina Sama B'chutz. There were Edom standing outside of the window of the prison and were able to say that they saw the Chalitza. Ibailuhu. Ask the Gemara, Maisa, this Maisa that we just learned in the Mishnah, Shechotzu Beino Lebeino, Avroi, and was the episode took place outside of the prison. And the question, Bar Maisa Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, the question was asked to Rabbi Kiva when he was in prison. Oidilma, the way to understand the question, the story, is Mas Shechotzu Beino Lebeino Bebeis Asurim, the actual Chalitza took place in the base Asurim, and the question was then posed to Rekiva, who was not in base Asurim. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the base Asurim Hayimaisa, that everything happened in prison. The Chalitza took place in prison, or the base Asurim Bamaisa. And the question was brought to Rekiva when he was in prison. And as the Yamsha Shloimeh comes to teach us, that we would think that since the Chalitza took place in prison, we learned in our previous year that a Chalitza, not every halacha of the Chalitza is absolutely essential, but we learned that it has to be doable. And here, since a Bezdin cannot be brought to prison, maybe the halacha is that if the Chalitza is done in a prison, it's not kosher even by the Yevid. Teaches us the Gemara that halacha was not said regarding the requirement according to Rekiva of Chalitza in front of a Bezdin. Rekiva held, as long as there were Edom that witnessed it, it would be satisfactory.